Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Yeah, it's D-Mac with Coach Alfred. I call him Coach Alfred because when he's standing out there, the players try to get his attention. The coaches try to get his attention. I'm just like, I don't know. You might as well walk right out there and start working with them a little bit if they're going to, you know, be doing that.
I really get excited for the players during this time of the year because there's so much learning going on and there's so much clinicking going on from player to player and coach to player. I really get involved with what the coaches are saying.
Well, they get involved with you.
I don't say much to the players, but just hearing those messages over and over again relayed the right way. The excellent defensive line coach Bill Kolar, he's got a great group this year. And they are so fluid. I mean, from top to bottom, it's an exciting group of young players, veterans, and really guys who can be special this upcoming year. I've gone out on a ledge and said that this may be the best, you know, front four pass rushing unit that the Broncos can have ever filled. So if this is the best they've ever filled it, you know that there are some players that are unknown to the general public. But I'm telling you right now, looks really good.
Cool.
Makes a lot of sense.
What were you
to
talking to Kolar about today?
Just his guys. His group is, you know.
What do you have to say?
Well, he said that he likes his group as well. And, you know, it's a deep group, man. His defensive line, I mean, what the Broncos have done is that they've added depth everywhere across their football club. And they've added good players everywhere, which is unusual for this organization. Because that's not like that every year. It's not like that every year where you go, that was a quality draft pick. That was a quality pickup. You know, many times we're talking about, you know, and I think this was their greatest draft class of all time. Like, I doubt if you can find a better draft class in Denver Broncos history. Well, you say from top to bottom, these guys have the chance to really impact the team the way that this group of draftees have or could potentially have on this football club. So everything makes sense, and I'm not used to that. Usually there are a couple dumb moves that you go, why? Or you say, oh, that didn't work out. But so far, every addition that they've made, every attempt to improve the team has made sense. And because of that, the team looks a lot better this year.
Well, today was the first fully padded contact practice. Early on in the practice, Derek Wolfe got, you know, what we were told later was a stinger.
Yes.
And
he's not happy. I was there by the locker room when he went in.
Okay. What'd you see? I'll tell you what I saw. Share with what you saw first.
Go ahead.
Well, what I saw is him come off and be really upset. Like, animated. Upset with a couple of trainers. So much so, Ron Leary kind of came over to hear him out. Pat him on the shoulder, kind of, you know, keep things a little bit more calm. In fact, I believe I got Leary talking about that. I'm just looking at my stuff right now. First cut? Okay. Where? What page? Oh, Tuesday.
Yeah, well, Wolf's just a real passionate guy, you know, so he always wants to be out there. So anytime he gets a little nick and he can't perform, he's heated. And Wolf don't listen to too many people, but I've known him for a while, so he listens to me. He knows it's all love when it comes from me, so it was a good little combo.
Okay, so just settle things down. Then Wolf goes off, so maybe you should pick it up because you were there when he walked off.
Right, when he walked off, he went into the locker room, and you can hear him slamming his helmet and hitting a wall and, of course, curse words coming out.
What do you think he was upset about?
I think maybe because when you have a – let me explain what a stinger is, okay? A stinger is when you have a pinch in a nerve that sends this eerie feeling down your arm where it's almost numb and you can barely feel your fingers. Like your arm is like, it feels like your arm is numb. So this also sounds like some of the issues that Derek Wolfe has had in the past with his past neck surgeries. So when you start putting that together, he may have thought it was a continuation of an old problem when it was probably just a normal neck sting. Because
is there such a thing as a normal neck sting? Sounds a little scary. I mean, normal neck sting? Normal moments of paralysis? Normal moments of numbing?
I hate to make it sound like it's no big deal, but for football players that play, you know, in that 9-on-7 group, the offensive line, defensive line, running backs, linebackers, sometimes safeties. Yeah, it's normal.
To me, I wonder, did something happen during the drill that, like, somebody went a little bit too aggressive or somebody used hand plate or something?
Just, you know, you get hit, you know, like, I'm looking, look at me. I'm
like, he's upset about
I'm like shrugging my shoulder, like, okay, I know what that feels.
He was upset, about something.
Yeah, but when you get, when you do it, it's immediate. Like, it's not, when you do it, it's like, boom, oh man, that's right on that spot. Oh, I lost feeling.
Yeah, but why would you be mad, though? Like, who would you be mad at?
Because you're mad because, once again, he could have thought that was a continuation from an old injury, which
he's talked about in the past. Who's he mad? I mean,
he's upset because it happened. Not because of, not at anybody, but because it happened.
You think it was just general venting about...
Right, like, I don't need this again. Like, I don't want this to be part of my existence anymore.
Well, I asked Leary about that, and Leary kind of confirmed what you said there. Like, it wasn't about... Because I asked, you know, does it...
It's not like somebody did something dirty to him.
All right, well, here, go ahead. If you got it, go ahead.
Going back to Wolf briefly, are there things that just should not happen in a practice that sometimes got to be tempered or calmed down?
I mean, it's things like that, but I don't think that was a situation with Wolf. I think it was just a bang-bang play. You know, he just got a little stinger, but, I mean, he's good. He came back to practice. I don't know if he did anything else, but I talked to him, and he's fine.
Okay. So, all right, that kind of coincides with what you're saying. I thought on the surface is like he was pissed off at, you know, an offensive lineman, you know, because
it wouldn't matter if he was or not. and the best thing
isn't there some sort of protocol with what you can and can't do, fully padded practices?
See, this is what I see when I'm in practice. By the way, I have to mention it because it's ever present and it's always part of training camp. At every training camp, there is an ambulance that is parked right next to the players' parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's there every practice.
Doors are open.
It's that ambulance reminds you all the time of how dangerous this game is. Like when you go to an NBA practice, there is no ambulance that's just sitting there outside of the court. Football, in the NFL, there's always an ambulance at an NFL practice because you never know what could happen. A guy could have a compound fracture or some kind of shoulder injury, or maybe it's just I don't know, maybe it goes into cardiac arrest or whatever. But it's always present. So I always think about how precious those moments are in between those lines because you never know when it's your time and when an injury may show itself. I always see it. I hardly say anything about it, but I always see it. I see it every time I go to a training camp practice. And maybe I'm the only one that notices it, but I see it because I was at a practice one time when Orlandus Gary came through the hole and Tony Veland was playing safety. And Orlandus Gary hit Tony Veland. Tony Veland had some kind of neck injury, and Orlandus Gary ran over top, hit him, kept running, and didn't miss a stride. And that was Tony Veland's last play. When players start talking about handling each other in an improper way, it's because you do something that is not in the normal framework of football, or at least not for teammates. There were at least four times a day where guys in the secondary could have lit up guys catching the football. At least four times. But since that's your teammate, this is not the right time or place to do that, so let's not do it. And that didn't happen with Derek Wolfe today. So And another thing, and the reason I brought up the ambulance incident, another thing that I'm always leery of when guys are injured, when they're walking off the field. See, this is why I didn't know what was going on with Bowles yesterday. By the way, four participants today.
We'll get to that in a second.
This is what I didn't know about Bowles yesterday. Because he was actually sitting in the cart and the cart was going really slow, mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was.
Right.
Derek Wolfe snapped up. He was upset, but he was walking at a nice pace. And, you know, for me as a former defensive lineman, I was like, okay, he doesn't have a lower body injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Bowles yesterday, I didn't know because, you know, he was in the cart. So mm-hmm. so when I see guys stand up and walk off the field and it's like a shoulder injury or something, you know, I kind of shrug a little bit, you know, and say, okay, they'll be back. And sure enough, Wolf was back. But I've been in practices where guys have had to get into that ambulance and get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did come back and participated the rest of the way. And, you know, hopefully everything's fine. That sort of thing. Garrett Bowles. You know, I don't know what to say.
Maybe he just doesn't have a high pain tolerance. I'm just going to be.
I don't know.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
I mean, you just had to see the way he was carted off.
I was there. I saw it. I mean, it was maybe the guy just doesn't have a high pain threshold. And remember now, it's not like Garrett Bowles had been playing football all these years up until now. He had an extended break, and then when he came back, he was the guy. And you know, he hasn't had to grind it out on the football field. Not in life, I'm quite sure he had to grind like all of us have. But on the football field, I don't know if he understands what the normal life of a grind of playing offense and defensive line is like in the NFL.
I mean,
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Based on today, and he was a full participant, full pads, I don't know if he even got subbed out at left tackle during any of the team periods. Whereas you see Billy Turner kind of mix it in with Valdir, you see Ron Leary mix it in with Max Garcia. No, Bowles is out there left tackle the entire day. It's just like, well, how do you go from one thing one day to such a full participant the next? Like, why yesterday didn't you just sort of do like Derek Wolfe did today? You know, why didn't you just sort of go off to the side?
Go in.
Maybe go in for
yourself
a little bit. Just get your act together.
Right.
And come back out.
Well, I heard that there were some other issues that were going on, and we don't have to discuss that. But
I didn't hear that. There's, okay.
You know, so.
All right.
You know, you just don't know what's going on.
It wasn't his day yesterday.
No, but I mean, he was back today.
Okay. It was interesting. You just don't see that often. Like, Josie Jewell hasn't practiced, and he's got, like, a hamstring issue. He just hasn't practiced, period.
Right.
Not yet.
And a kid that I know well, Kenny Bell.
He hasn't participated yet.
Hasn't been out there, you know, and I had a chance to see him.
How do you know Kenny
today.
Bell?
Oh, my goodness, man. I'm his dad. I played against his dad.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, right, man. And I've known the kid since he was a young man. Our kids grew up together. They went to
CU
camps together. And,
gotcha.
Oh, he's family.
Gotcha.
So he hasn't had a chance to get it going out there. I feel bad for guys who have injuries that hold them back from showing. But you know, this is the business. I know this business as well as anybody else because those are the same things that happened to me in my career. Never did I have a stretch where I had 4 years without injury.
Well,
you know, it just doesn't.
It's
hard to do in the league.
Josie Jewell has nothing to worry about. Kenny Bell may want to have a sense of urgency to get out there.
I'm quite sure he does. But I'm just saying, it's just injury as part of this league.
Okay. Hireman wasn't out there today again,
no.
Right? The guy's he's always hurt. It feels like he's always hurt.
It's the league.
Meanwhile, Case Keenum is so much better than the other two quarterbacks out there. It's not even funny, Al.
We have real issues. We have real issues, and it's showing itself. Last year, you know, we saw that Trevor Siemian was going to beat out any quarterback that we had on the roster. It was like, okay, Trevor made that throw, you know, and Paxton didn't. Pax didn't make this throw. Pax didn't make that throw. Pax didn't make that throw. Trevor made two out of those four throws. Pax missed all of them. And then you get to Case Keenum today, who threw a pass that was, it's like the guys who know how to check up a golf ball, the guys who know how to shoot at the pool table, where the guys that know how to bowl and throw a curve. You know what I'm saying? They're masters of the game, and then they're amateurs. Right now, we are looking at a guy that's, I think, beginning to become a master of the game at the quarterback position. And right now, Paxton Lynch is still an amateur.
Yeah. That's well said. Trevor definitely was the better quarterback over the past couple camps, but there wasn't a separation like this.
Yeah.
You're seeing it's not even close, which is great news, of course. I remember when Mark Sanchez was out there last year, and you're just like, no, he should be better than he's playing, but he wasn't. And
was that last year or 2 years ago? Was that last year?
Was that 2 years? No, you're right. It was 2 years ago. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It was after the Super Bowl year. Right. Sorry.
Like, these years are starting to run into each other.
The age of mediocrity is blending. I mean, even like Bradley Roby today was like asked about the offense and like, yeah, it's a lot better. Like, everybody, the most common theme is just how significantly better the offense is this year than it has been for the past 2 years. I think everybody was just trying to be nice over the past couple years. But I mean, it's now that it is significantly better, everybody can see it's better. You know, it's better. The players are feeling more free to express that. And, you know, we all knew it. We all saw it. We would come away from a practice and we're like, well, I don't know. What do you think? I don't know.
8-8.
Like, yeah, because it just felt so mediocre.
8-8.
And now you see moments with the Broncos that if the offensive line can hold up and do what they're supposed to do and do what they can do.
I think they will.
I hope so.
I think that's a good unit as well.
And now you got a really interesting situation. Really interesting, because one of the stars of today, there were a couple in the wide receiver core, but one of the stars today was this guy, Tim Wright. And if you don't know Tim Wright, he's the tallest of all the wide receivers, which is impressive, because Cortland Sutton's, you know, bigger than Demaryius, and this Tim Wright guy is even bigger than Cortland Sutton. All of a sudden, you're seeing Tim Wright out there with the ones in red zone, catching touchdown passes, and every single time you're seeing something interesting happen, Tim Wright's attached to it. Then you see the play today where they finally did a move the ball, period. First one. They did a bunch of third down stuff, mm-hmm. but they did a two-minute drill. There's a minute 8 left on the clock, Al. It's first and 10 from the 44-yard line. You're down by 5. You got to score a touchdown. You got one timeout. Let's see what you do.
Oh, man.
And Case Keenum connected on a big third down play with Emmanuel Sanders at one point. And then it trickled down to, you know, second and 10, but it didn't matter. There were only 4 seconds left. You're at the 18-yard line. And, right, like, here we go. Like, there's only the defense knows. Everybody knows. The ball's going to the end zone. Everybody knows it. You know, it's you should not be able to score in this situation. Case Keenum moves around, dips, dodges, dives, ducks, and dodges, launches the ball to the left corner of the end zone, and like the boom. Phoenix rising, Cortland Sutton just rose
out of the ground into the air.
It was just like
referee hat goes off, throws it down.
Oh, Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick.
Referee hat goes down to indicate that it's a good catch. Touchdown.
Wasn't the hat goes down to indicate you stepped out of bounds and you're the first person?
Or that there was a flag. Just say the defender flagged him. Like, he doesn't have a flag with him.
There was a little debate about, like, you know, what exactly happened. Like, the defense claims Cortland Sutton stepped out of bounds and then stepped in. Sutton says, I don't know about that, but I definitely got both feet in. Who cares? The bottom line here is, Al, this dude rose up, caught a more or less a desperation fling in the corner of the end zone, and this play cannot be. Meanwhile, Demaryius, Emmanuel, they're on the field. They're just on the other side of the field. You've got a jump ball guy right now. You got a guy who you can put the ball up, and he's going to win it more times than not. You got that guy. And it was special. It was a really special moment.
The last time we had a guy like this was Rod Smith. A true jump ball guy.
Yeah, well, Rod's not 6'4 and a half, but I see what you're saying.
But, I mean, a jump ball guy that can go up and just take the ball away. We know that DT is a bigger guy, and we've seen him make tremendous catches.
He's not bigger than Courtland Sutton.
You wouldn't necessarily call him a jump ball guy.
No.
Courtland Sutton is a jump ball guy.
He is a jump ball guy.
Old school football fans, he's Alvin Harper from the old Dallas Cowboys.
Throw it up there.
Throw it up. Randy Moss.
Yep.
He's always open if you throw it high enough.
Calvin Johnson. He's that type of body.
He's not as thick as Calvin Johnson.
Who cares?
But I'm talking about, man, it is a... I mean, I think every day that he's been in camp, they've thrown him at least one jump ball.
Throw it up to him. And Keenum already has the confidence this young in camp. Paxton Lynch gets the ball, same situation. And it goes down 15, 20 yards. Sometimes they're generous with where they spot the ball. They're trying to encourage the drive. And I think
he's holding the ball.
No, it was awful. It's like a fourth down play, and it's just an incomplete pass, and the drive just dies. What was a little disappointing was, you know, Chad Kelly didn't get an opportunity to participate in that same drill. So
we have issues. We have real issues. Once again, you know, I think that we're going to maybe kick ourselves that we didn't keep Trevor Siemian around here, but we need a guy like that. That can come in and play, give you some good starts if needed until Case Keenum comes back. We're just weak there. We're just very, very weak at that one position. And it's the wrong position to be very weak at.
Be nice if Josh Rosen was out there too, wouldn't it?
Oh, my goodness, D-Mac, don't even get me going.
By the way, Bradley Chubb.
They got so many issues now with the defensive line. They don't even know. They got so much talent, they don't even know where to put guys.
Right.
They're so loaded on the front of the defense,
Bradley,
man.
Bradley Chubb looks like a good compliment.
Solid guy. He's solid. He's not Von Miller. I told you he wouldn't be.
He's not Von Miller.
He's never going to be Von Miller.
He's a good
solid guy. He's
going
to work hard. He's more like speed to bull pass rusher. Good balance, good motor.
He's not
Von Miller. That's what I've been trying to explain to everybody.
He's not going to be a game wrecker either, especially not this year.
Not a game wrecker per se, the way that Von was an instant impact.
I'm not really seeing all that much of a difference between Shane Ray and Bradley Chubb. Both good, solid players. Not Von Miller. Von's a freak. Von's just a freak.
Von is a unicorn.
Here's what's going to have to happen. You can't take Emmanuel Sanders off the field. Are you nuts? The guy's spectacular.
And Emmanuel Sanders has been playing in the slot.
You've got to get Courtland Sutton out there.
You got to get him out there. Emmanuel Sanders has been playing in the slot.
You're not going to go three wides all the time.
But Emmanuel Sanders has been playing in the slot.
I'm just saying, Demaryius may have to take the hit on this one.
What does that mean?
You're going to have to play Courtland Sutton, and it might mean Demaryius spends a little bit more time on the bench this year.
Well, Demaryius runs one deep route, and he comes out, so it's already... No, it's not an insult. I'm just telling you what he is. He comes out the game. He comes out the game, you know, if there's 65 plays, and if he has to run a go, you know, he comes out the game like 25 plays every game, no matter what.
And I screwed it up. I said Tim Wright. Tim Patrick, I apologize. Mm-hmm. Tim Patrick is having moments. So after practice is over, I'm sitting there next to Isaiah McKenzie. And again, it blows me away that I'm ever taller than anybody in the NFL. And yeah, okay, Isaiah McKenzie's in an absurdly good shape. I'll give you that.
Looks great.
But he's tiny. And when I think about what would I rather have, just getting the ball to Isaiah McKenzie is tricky. Getting the ball to Tim Patrick is not a hard thing to do. Getting the ball to Isaiah
McKenzie. Deshaun Hamilton is easy to get the ball to.
Easy to get the ball to. No problem.
And maybe,
but how do we actually, on offense, get the ball to Isaiah McKenzie?
I don't know.
It's really difficult.
Yeah. But I
if
think,
you could get him the ball, it'd be awesome. But I just don't know how you get him the ball.
Well, we have an Isaiah McKenzie type of player with Lindsey, you know.
And so Philip Lindsey is killing it.
And Philip Lindsey's running with the ones, running with the twos.
Killing
He's making
it.
His team.
He's making this team.
He's making this team.
And if Isaiah McKenzie's not taking back punts, would you rather have Isaiah McKenzie or Tim Patrick? I'd rather have Tim Patrick. Third downs, red zone, that sort of thing.
Oh, you say if Isaiah McKenzie. Yeah, I'm telling you. I tried to tell you yesterday, I mean Monday, when you said Isaiah McKenzie was going to make this team, and I was like, I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. There's just things that are going on now that the Broncos just they just grew up as an organization and made the right moves, man, in the draft, in the free agency. I'm telling you, it's a grown-up team, and it looks like they have competition everywhere. I don't know where this came from. Trust me, this is not normal.
We had our first fight today, and I'll tell you why it's quirky behind the scenes next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac. It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Here's a fun one for you. There was a bit of a fight today between Todd Davis and Ron Leary. And afterwards, Ron Leary said, well, I've just been talking smack all year. I just haven't been able to play. So, you know, kind of like joking, like this is going to happen at some point. Then we find out, Al, they've mixed things up in the locker room. Todd Davis has the locker next to Ron Leary. So they're not all grouped up by positions. They're kind of mixed up. Ron Leary said that's a good thing. I mean, literally different offense, defense sort of next to each other. What do you think about that?
I do love it. I do love the fact that you don't corner guys off in positions because I was a guy who had friends on both sides of the ball. And mm-hmm. of course, I was friendly with everybody. And I think that, you know, I don't want it to be a us against them kind of team. This year, because they're going to need, each group is going to need each other, and you might as well pull for the guy on offense because it's easy to cheer for him if he's your locker mate.
Well, then this is new. I mean, this has not been the way it's been for years and years and years and years. I don't even remember the last time the Broncos kind of mixed it up like this compared to more or less position groups. So, okay. Something different, though. I mean, I don't know how it was back in your day. But, I mean, the Broncos have been having guys in the locker room by position groups for, I mean,
yeah,
more than a decade at least.
Yes, and it was that way when I was with the Broncos as well.
Yeah, so.
It's new.
It's a new
and
thing.
And I like it.
Okay.
And I do like it.
All right, bongos.
Three.
I don't know how I'm feeling about this Hall of Fame week that is about to take place and the enshrinement after seeing commercials. While watching NFL Network, they're highlighting all these guys and the things that they've done. And they've shied away on the NFL Network to show Terrell Owens. Look, man, the guys doesn't want to come to your Hall of Fame induction.
Well, Al, owns the NFL Network? The NFL.
Listen, man.
Come on now.
Listen, man.
You know
I understand the guy is not going to Canton to be enshrined himself. But really, I mean, are you going to exclude him from some of the signage? Are you going to exclude him from some of the mentions? I mean, what is that?
In the same breath, the NFL does not own the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And neither does the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame is... Anyway, yes, you're right. But I want to ask you this. Is this a wrong thing for the Hall of Fame to exclude T.O.? From the ceremony?
Yes. Got to take the high road and just be above it. And yes, in my opinion. You?
Man, I tell you what, I think it's janky that the Hall of Fame is not giving the guy the credit of being the player that he was for this league for as long as he was. And any deletion of his accolades or time in the NFL leading up to this event is shameful. just because he doesn't want to come to your damn party? Come on, man. Get real.
Bongos.
Three.
The Patriots may be signing Eric Decker. You got all sorts of issues there in New England, Alfred. And if you see the cast of characters that Tom Brady has to throw to, you'll be like, really? How do you think Eric Decker would do with the New England Patriots?
I think he'd be a star. I think he'd be a star. The guy is a great route runner, is a huge red zone threat, and a very sure-handed player. Eric Decker, when he left Denver, he became a better receiver. You know, that's hard to imagine playing here with Peyton Manning, but really, Eric Decker became a better receiver once he left the Denver Broncos, so I think that would be a great, great deal.
Look for it. Bongos.
Three!
The NFL is getting a little crazy. The Vikings signed Stephon Diggs to an extension through 2023. They guaranteed Stephon Diggs $40 million. D-Mac, the receiver, has never had a 1,000-yard season in his NFL career. Did they jump the gun by signing Stephon Diggs to a $40 million guarantee with an average pay of $14 million too soon? Or should they have waited till the end of the year?
Well, he made a big catch, Al, so I guess he gets paid. But he made a big catch and he didn't get tackled.
They have a new quarterback who may, you know, he may end up having 1,300 yards this year because of Kirk Cousins.
He made an incredible play. He's part of an incredible play, one that goes down in the history books.
64 passes, 849.
Hey, man, you always said you're worth whatever they pay you. So
right.
If you're asking me if he's worth it, sure, why not? Bongos.
Three!
Johnny Manziel will start Friday night for Montreal in the CFL. Are you curious? Will you want to at least, not maybe watch the game live, but are you curious to watch at some level Johnny Manziel?
Isn't he playing the Alouettes?
He's playing for the Alouettes.
He's playing the Alouettes. Okay. No.
You're not interested?
Not at all.
You're not curious?
No.
I am definitely curious about it. I want to see it. And I praise Johnny Manziel for his desire to try, at least. This is the biggest criticism of Tim Tebow, that he kept saying it was his dream to play quarterback. Well, why let that dream die? At least you're seeing with Johnny Manziel an effort to try to still make it happen. I will be curious about it. I'm not sitting down to watch, you know, the Canadian Broadcast Company, but, you know, if it's on or I'm around or there's some availability to it, I want to see it. And you know what? I feel myself rooting for Johnny Manziel. It'd be a great comeback story. Bongos.
Three!
Meanwhile, you have an idea of how the Broncos need to help themselves immediately, and it's something I can get on board with. I think the listeners will, too. That's next.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
All right, Al. You want to drop a truth bomb on us about the quarterback situation? What is it?
It may be time to graduate and go get us a veteran, man. A 30-something-year-old or a guy that's in his late 20s who've had some NFL experience. It's time for Paxton Lynch to grow up and make plays or move on, D-Mac.
How so?
Well, the things that he struggled with has been route concepts and where to go with the football. Things that usually mean that you're not going to play quarterback in this league. It's not about arm strength. It's not about mobility. He runs more than he thinks plays through. And his thought process isn't where it needs to be in year three. I'm watching him at practice and, you know, it's like, it's like trying to watch a guy figure out long division who doesn't understand multiplication. Okay. So it's a struggle. It's a struggle. And, the clock in his head, it just doesn't work the right way. He holds on to the ball a little long, too much and longer than he needs to. He doesn't know when plays are open, and when he does finally get to him, it's late, and he probably that probably means he's been sacked in a real game.
And this is in practice where you can't hit the quarterback.
Right.
What happens in the real
game?
And
he's been running in practice because, you know, that's who he is. He's just the guy. But, you know, in this time, it's important that even if you throw interceptions that you're fitting it in. Don't worry about the reporters or the news members that are out there covering it. You're in a passing drill. Throw the ball. You know, try to do something that is good for your team and get your you know, not all throws would be perfect, but you have to find and locate and target guys, even when they're covered, to throw them to an area where they're uncovered. And he's just he does not have that yet. It's a little frustrating right now.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get it either.
It's a little frustrating because...
Well, all right. So how do you move on?
I don't know. I don't know, but I think they
will. You just eat the salary commitment?
You keep him on the team, but, you know...
Oh, okay. You do?
I think you try to do what's best by putting Kelly on practice squad one more year, hoping that he slides through and makes the practice squad. But it just really highlights all of this work over these 3 years leading up to this day just really hasn't paid off.
Why get a vet, though? Because you already have a vet in Case Keenum.
You need a vet just in case something goes wrong with Case.
What's wrong with Chad Kelly?
Well, he just doesn't understand how it is to play in this league. He doesn't, you know, he's only been, this is his first training camp, D-Mac.
Okay.
Do I have to say more?
Well, at what point will Chad Kelly get that experience if you bring in a veteran?
You give him the chance to run through practice and know what it is to be in the NFL.
Chad Kelly didn't even get a rep in.
I know,
in,
man.
In the two minute team.
And a 2 minute drill.
So if you bring a veteran in and you keep Paxton Lynch, I mean, forget any kind of development with Chad Kelly.
Well, I mean, listen. Being around, you know, you learn through osmosis. So
do you really believe that?
Yes, I do.
Come on.
Listen, I do.
You got to get out there and play.
Hey, listen, you telling me that Trevor Siemian played? No, he did not play at all. And then the next year, he's our starter, and he won 9 games. He learned through osmosis, so he won 8. So you don't have to correct me.
I wasn't even paying attention. No, I'm joking. Okay, so who do you want? Matt Moore?
Maybe.
Does everybody want Matt Moore? You guys excited about Matt Moore coming here?
Yeah. It's not necessarily a name. It's just a veteran who's played in this league.
I'm thinking of a veteran who's available. Isn't Matt Moore available? What other veteran quarterbacks are on the street right now?
I don't know. Maybe he's on another roster.
So you want to trade?
Maybe.
Okay. What are you giving up?
Shane Ray.
All right. So who's your guy? Who's on another team that you'd be interested in?
I don't know. One of the Jets quarterbacks.
Okay, McNown or Bridgewater?
I would take Bridgewater, but, you know.
Why would the Jets do that?
I don't know. Because
the Jets are going to trade a high-quality quarterback for a dude that may or may not have needed surgery?
But the Jets have
who just wasn't offered a... are they desperate?
They have Sam Darnold, Josh McCown.
No, I understand, but where's their pass rushing? Or are we just talking draft picks at this point?
I would consider trading Shane Ray. Shane Ray is, by the way, going to be a hell of a player this year.
Then why would we trade Shane Ray?
Because you need a backup quarterback.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I heard Stokely and Zach talking about it. I didn't know they were going to touch on it today, but man, I was like, man, you know, we got an issue, man. We got a problem.
Yeah,
That's why I was talking about it since
January.
We have a real problem.
Yeah,
and I was thinking that, you know, with enough reps and enough, you know, he hasn't figured out the matrix yet. He hasn't figured it out.
Yeah, he's not going to. You know, we were. Talking on the sideline, I was talking with, I'll keep the names out of it, but how is something that is so obvious to the rest of us so confounding to the Broncos management? Or is it really just about the money and the commitment and you just got to see it through and after 3 years, nobody will really care?
Huh.
They're not going to make that move. You realize that, though, right? I know what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you, but this is the reason why I was pounding the table to draft a quarterback at 5.
Yeah,
because it gives you the best possible quarterback pie. There's different slices of a pie.
Like Jerome is this better because of Case Keenum, but only because of Case Keenum.
Well, yeah, that's a huge improvement for sure.
But, I mean, all those years that Peyton Manning played in Indianapolis, he never had a quality backup quarterback.
Good point. How many Super Bowls did he win there?
One.
That's right. One.
And the year he went down, they went 1-15.
That's right. They didn't have much of a plan there.
It's a hard position.
Hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah.
They should have kept Peyton and drafted Luck and just dealt with the money situation. That would have been their best situation. They should have shown a little bit faith in their guy, Peyton Manning, drafted Luck, gave it a couple years, and then see
but
where
I'm
you're at.
I'm talking about here. I'm talking about here,
We already missed that opportunity.
Oh, no. It's not done. To say it's done is to be foolish right
now.
We're
pretty deep into
trying to figure out if we were going to make a move at, 3 minutes before the trade deadline today for the Rockies. It hasn't even begun to get close to that for the Broncos.
I mean, you got to learn the playbook. You got to... All right. Well,
veterans know the playbook. Their play concepts.
All
rookies don't know play concepts. Veterans know play concepts. You just got to learn the language of how you are calling that play concept.
It's buyer's remorse. And there's nothing you can do at this point. First of all, there's really nothing you can do about this point because the rest of your draft was really strong. Can you imagine using a second round pick instead of Cortland Sutton on somebody at quarterback? Look at what Cortland Sutton's able to do. I mean, you love Royce Freeman. Did you want to use your third round pick there? Isaac Yiadom may be a starting, dime nickel corner. I don't know. He's going to have an impact. I mean, what are we talking about? Josie Jewell's the linebacker of the future. I mean, you just drip on down the line and you realize there just weren't quarterbacks there. Not as good as the rest of this draft. If you wanted the high quality of this draft, you either had to pick that quarterback at 5 or just move on, and they moved on. They moved on. And you want a veteran? That's nice. Good luck. It's not going to happen. It's going to be, they're
Don't
not going to make
negative.
This move.
I think it's going to be a move.
Listen, man, you don't have to twist my arm.
First
I would rather
preseason
see Matt
game
Moore.
Against the Vikings.
I would rather see Matt Moore here than Paxton Lynch playing quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I agree.
If you want to do that, if you want to sign Matt Moore from off the street, okay, fine by me. He's not
but you don't have to do it until the second preseason game is over.
Well, I don't know why you wouldn't have made this move back in the spring.
Because you had to see if this guy has picked it up.
Who? Paxton Lynch?
Yeah. Man, I mean,
are you really surprised by seeing what you're seeing out there? I mean, you cannot tell me you're surprised after all of this.
I am because, unlike you, I didn't go out to the OTAs to watch them play in shorts.
Oh, okay.
And watch them run around and do all this stuff because it doesn't matter to me because the only thing that really matters at this time, the only thing that really matters right now is can he play? Because can he play or can't he play? Can he or can't he?
Well, hopefully Case Keenum just stays
if
healthy.
If it's just can he or can't he, now is time. In the spring, you're just dealing with things. You're working on I've seen coaches work on quarterbacks' release point. I've seen them work on defensive linemen stance. You work on. But now, this is it. I like to be there when the games are real. These games in practice are real.
This is The Drive, football at 4 next.